Good morning, and welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and we have got, well, a program today that's really going to be oriented towards you taking better care of yourself because you're going to be more informed about how you can do that. We have a wonderful guest this afternoon. It is Dr. Dorado Brook, and he is on the phone line with us, and we're going to be talking about two different cancers which are receiving more and more coverage from so many different venues because of some very significant reasons, which we will be telling you about. Dr. Brooks, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me, Donna.
It's a delight having you. I know you are associated with the American Cancer Society, and we have two topics we're going to be talking about this afternoon, prostate cancer and colon cancer, what we need to know to be more informed as individuals, as consumers. What is your background, Dr. Brooks?
Well, I'm a primary care doctor. I take care of adults in a lot of different settings and have focused much of my career on preventing disease or finding it and addressing it early.
Prostate cancer is affecting so many different men. Give us a little bit of history, if you can, about prostate cancer. When did we really become aware of this? Was it historically much less common than today? And if it's more common today, do you think it's because of our being more aware of it and our education about this? Give us a little history on this disease.
Well, we've been aware of prostate cancer for probably 100 years at this point. I think that part of the perception around the increase in the disease is because we have developed tests since the 1980s to help find the disease early. Prostate cancer used to be something that was found only when it was very advanced and consequently was near the end of a man's life in many instances. Now we find the disease in many men, and particularly in younger men. And we've increased the use of the screening test, and what I'm talking about are the digital rectal exam, where the doctor puts a gloved finger into the rectum and actually feels the prostate gland, and more importantly, the PSA, prostate-specific antigen blood test. As we've increased the use of these tests, we found more and more prostate cancer.
So here we are. We're becoming more aware of this. Let's tell my audience, what is cancer? Because there are, we don't know how many different types, actually. We just know that as we become more educated, we discover different types. But what is cancer?
Well, cancer occurs when cells in the body begin to grow in an uncontrolled fashion. And in particular, when these uncontrolled cells then spread away from where they first began and either invade local tissue or, in many instances, spread to other parts of the body and begin to grow there. And the problem with cancer is that it basically takes over whatever organ or whatever part of the body that it inhabits and suppresses all of the normal cells. So in the case of prostate cancer, you have cells that begin to grow abnormally within that gland, and then they begin to take over the gland and spread to other parts of the body and take over in other places, and eventually they sap the body's resources.
Now, in this material, and by the way, for those of you listening, these are books put out by the American Cancer Society, Quick Facts, and we're talking about prostate cancer first, and then we're going to be talking about colon cancer. These books have a great deal of information in them, and they can educate you so that you don't become fearful. You become knowledgeable, and if you are aware and you understand certain things, then you can take a positioning of prevention and actually work in a compatible format with your physician. Now, doctor, the prostate is how big?
The prostate is about the size of a walnut in most men, a normal prostate gland in a mature man. And it is, again, it's palpable, that is, doctors can actually feel it by doing a rectal exam because it sits just in front of the rectum and behind the bladder. The gland, as men age, often will enlarge. Much of that enlargement is not related to cancer. It's just related to that gland slowly enlarging, but with still fairly normal-appearing cells. But in the case of prostate cancer, very often you will get fairly rapid enlargement. You'll get asymmetric enlargement, so only one part of the gland will get large, and then also it may feel very hard as compared to normal prostate tissue.
You have mentioned that typically it was discovered in older men, and 100 years ago, usually it was so advanced there was nothing they could do about it. They really didn't know what to do about it. All they knew is that it was terminal. Here we have today this new research. Can you explain why it is that the older male typically will develop this? I've heard people say, gee, at least 90% of men over the age of 70 are going to have prostate surgery, or they'll get prostate cancer. Is that true?
Well, that statistic is probably somewhat elevated. But cancer in general occurs more often in older people, and we believe that in part it's related to the fact that as we age, our cells also age, and as those cells age, many of the normal defense mechanisms that suppress abnormal growth are slowly lost. So most types of cancers are much more common in older people. Prostate cancer is, in particular, a disease primarily of older men for that same reason. The fact that the prostate gland is hidden deep down inside of the body, the fact that the prostate does tend to enlarge as men age anyway, may in some way contribute to the fact that it is of a pretty high frequency in older men. Now, I think it's more likely, as opposed to men necessarily requiring prostate surgery, I think that it would be fair to say that men in their 70s, there are some estimates that up to 70% of those men may have some cancer in their prostate gland. Men in their 80s, maybe as high as 80% of those men will have some cancer. But it's important to also realize that prostate cancer is, in many instances, very slow growing, and every prostate cancer does not necessarily require aggressive treatment. In men in their 70s or 80s, particularly if they have other health problems, we may actually do them more harm than good by performing surgery or by giving radiation therapy, which are the two primary treatments for early prostate cancer. If a man has a relatively limited life expectancy because of severe heart disease or lung disease or other kinds of problems, in many instances, doctors will just do what's called watchful waiting, even if prostate cancer is diagnosed. If the man is not having any symptoms related to that cancer, then we'll just sit back, monitor them regularly, make sure no new symptoms are developing, make sure there's no evidence that the disease is spreading outside of the prostate gland, and not actively treat it at all. And that's a perfectly reasonable approach, particularly in older men or men with other medical problems.
You bring out also in the material that there are certain groups of men that have more of a patterning for this than others. And share with us a little bit of information on that.
Well, prostate cancer, as I mentioned, occurs in men as they age, and it's very common in older men. In younger men, in men in their 30s, 40s, 50s, there's a much higher incidence of prostate cancer in two groups of men in particular. One is men who have a history of prostate cancer in their family. So if their father or a brother has been diagnosed with prostate cancer, then a man's likelihood is significantly greater that he, too, may be harboring that disease. And the other group of men is African-American men. The reasons for that are not clear right now, but African-American men, even those who don't have a known family history of the disease, are at least 50%, maybe 60% more likely to develop prostate cancer and about twice as likely to die from prostate cancer as white men in the U.S.
You brought up nationality also. You brought up a point I thought was quite interesting, that Asian men in Los Angeles have one-fifth the prostate cancer rate of white men in the same area. And these statistics, these points of information, how do you get this detail?
Well, fortunately, our government invests a large amount of money in doing regular health assessments of healthcare status of our citizenry. In addition, the American Cancer Society spends a lot of funds also trying to collect this kind of information. And we now have good long-term data and are continuing to collect data. And in recent years, we have begun to collect data in more than just black and white. If you look back at data from the 1970s, it was pretty much all African-American men and white men or African-American women and white women. But over the last 15 to 20 years, we've recognized that the disease differs very significantly among different racial and ethnic groups in the U.S. So there's a greater attempt to break this down further. And by then identifying the fact that, for instance, Asian American men, as you already mentioned, have a much lower incidence, hopefully that can stimulate research that can help us understand those differences. And maybe there's something that we can apply that is going on in that Asian American man to help decrease the risk in white men, African American men, other groups.
Also, you bring up the factor of diet, and you say in the material, men who eat a lot of red meat or who have a lot of high-fat dairy products in their diet appear to have a slightly higher chance of developing prostate cancer. Do you have any idea why?
Well, no, there are any number of theories, but our understanding of the dietary factors associated with prostate cancer are actually pretty limited compared to some other cancers. The evidence is not 100% that diet makes a big difference, but there's enough to at least encourage us to recommend that men follow a diet that is low in fat, low in red meat, because even if they are not strikingly impacting their prostate cancer risk, that sort of diet is going to decrease their chance of colorectal cancer, decrease their chance of heart disease, stroke, and other medical problems. So they're certainly not going to do themselves any harm with regard to prostate cancer. They may do some good, and they're certainly going to do themselves good regarding other potentially lethal diseases.
You also bring out a fact that men over the age of 65 who exercise vigorously have a lower rate of prostate cancer. So there's so many different facts and points of information, and this is your quick fact book on prostate cancer, which I think is a very important subject matter for men to be educated about, and also women, because those of us who are married, who have significant males in our lives, we want them to be healthy and well. So this gives some very, very good information. And for some reason, and you, I don't take offense, Dr. Brooks, but you guys seem to be really stubborn when it comes to going to doctors.
Well, there's no question about that, and I think that you're right. It's very important that women understand what the risks are of prostate cancer, other cancers, and other health diseases, because women do, in general, serve as the healthcare decision makers in most families. And that's they're contributing to the decisions that are made with regard to diet and exercise. They are strong influencers of those factors in men. They're contributing to men actually getting to the doctor and getting the kinds of screening tests that are important and needed. And this can be not only for husbands, but also for fathers, for brothers. So women have a lot of influence when it comes to healthcare decision making. And you're right, men need it. Men are very reluctant in many instances to deal with their health issues, particularly preventive health issues. If they're feeling fine, many men have the perception they have no need to go to the doctor.
Well, we're going to shift because we have two topics we're covering, the prostate and also colon. Now, colon cancer to me, I've known a number of individuals that have had various experiences. Some of them have had to have surgery. I know someone who was a very high-stressed individual that had to have colon surgery, and they removed 5 feet or something like this. It was awful what they had to go through. Now, this is a significant subject matter because in the book, and again, this is a quick fact, colon cancer book, What You Need to Know Now, excluding skin cancers, and I'm quoting directly from the book, colorectal cancer is the third most common cancer diagnosed in men and in women in the United States. And the American Cancer Society estimates that about 148,610 new cases of colorectal cancer. And it's almost even. There's like 72,800 men, 75,800 women will be diagnosed in 2006. Those are big numbers, Doctor.
They certainly are. And what's even more striking is the fact that so many of those cases are preventable. Unlike breast cancer or prostate cancer, where when we do screening tests, we're hoping to find cancer early when we can still treat it effectively. With colorectal cancer, the test that we use to screen can actually find abnormalities before they turn into cancer. By addressing those precancers, we can prevent cancer from occurring. So it's estimated that if the population of the U.S. increased colorectal cancer screening to levels that are similar for breast cancer screening, we could cut both the incidence and deaths from colorectal cancer by 30 to 40%.
All right. Now, you've mentioned screening, and we'll go into that in just a minute. But a lot of this, and correct me if you think I'm wrong, but a lot of this is dietary related. Obviously, there is something very, very wrong because these kinds of numbers weren't around 50 years ago, 75 years ago. Am I wrong?
Actually, the incidence of colorectal cancer has been falling over the last 20 years. Yes. Now, I'm not familiar with figures from 50 years ago, but compared to 20 years ago, we actually are seeing fewer cases and significantly fewer deaths from the disease. But back to your original point, there is much more clear evidence in colorectal cancer than, say, in prostate cancer that diet does play a big role. And diets that are high in fat, red meat, processed meats like lunch meats, all of those have been very clearly associated with colorectal cancer, as has obesity. Cigarette smoking is another factor. Many people recognize cigarettes as being a risk for lung cancer, but they don't appreciate that they're also increasing their chance of colorectal cancer. Alcohol, anything more than 2 drinks a day in a man or 1 drink a day in a woman, increases their risk of colorectal cancer. And colorectal cancer is also more likely to occur in people who lead sedentary lifestyles, who are sitting around. So diet and lifestyle play a huge role in one's risk of developing colorectal cancer. However, all of that being said, even if you follow exactly the kind of diet that is recommended, a diet that's high in fruits and vegetables, low in fat and processed foods, even if you exercise regularly, you're still at risk of developing the disease, and therefore screening tests are extraordinarily important. Not only, as I mentioned, can these tests find precancers, allow us to treat them and prevent the disease, but if the disease is already present at the time that you're screened, if it's found in its early stages, your likelihood of surviving is extremely high. Survival rates for colon or rectal cancer that are found in the earliest stages, that is, before it's spread to other parts of the body, are 90% or more. And compare that to survival from colorectal cancer that has spread to other parts of the body when it's diagnosed. The likelihood of those people living is only about 10%.
Blood tests can be used as a part of a diagnosis. What happens, what kind of blood test, if someone wanted to have a blood test, what kind of test would they do? And also, the fecal occult blood test. Talk to us about that and how we have to be careful if we're going to have that done, about what we eat, vitamins, et cetera.
Well, first off, there is at present no effective blood test for colorectal cancer. There are some very exciting preliminary results, and within the next few years we may have blood tests that can be done. But right now the tests that we use look for evidence of blood in the stool. One of the early findings with colorectal cancer, and in many cases with these precancers, the growths in the colon called polyps that can turn into cancer, is a small amount of blood in the stool. This blood is usually microscopic in early phases. So the fact that you're not seeing blood, bright red blood in your stool, does not mean that you don't need to be concerned about this. And that's with the fecal occult blood test, the occult that's looking for hidden blood. So you collect stool specimens, usually from three separate bowel movements over the course of 2 or 3 days, and then return these to your doctor's office or to a laboratory, and we search for small amounts of hidden blood that could indicate some abnormality present in the colon. There are a number of other tests, though, that can also be used. There are some more sophisticated stool tests that look for actual changes in the cellular makeup or the breakdown of cellular products that are found in the stool. Those tests are currently being marketed and are being evaluated for possible recommendation by the American Cancer Society and other organizations as a screening test, although they haven't quite met that standard yet. And then there are more invasive tests. There's an X-ray study, something called the barium enema, where dye and air are injected into the colon and X-ray pictures are taken, and you can find both polyps and cancers. And then there are the scope test. The main test that people think about with the scope test is called the colonoscope or colonoscopy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where a long tube is inserted into the rectum that has a light and a camera, and the entire inside of the colon is examined by the physician. And if there are any growths or abnormalities, they can either take a small piece of them, what's called a biopsy, and look at it under a microscope, or in the case of polyps, in most instances, they'll actually be removed during that procedure. So colonoscopy has the advantage of being both a diagnostic test, but also a preventive test by removing those polyps. Again, we're preventing cancer from occurring. And it's thought that a significant portion of the fall that we've seen in colon cancer incidence rates over the last 20 years is related to an increased use of colonoscopy.
How is it treated?
Well, again, in the very earliest stages, if there's no evidence that the disease has spread beyond the colon, sometimes simply removing a polyp, you may find a small amount of cancer there. In most instances, if the disease is still in early phases, the primary treatment is going to be surgery. It is rare that the entire colon or even 5 feet of the 5 feet of colon needs to be removed at this point. If the disease is found in its early stages, usually only a short segment of the colon is removed, and then the colon is reattached either during that surgery or at times in the course of a second surgery. One of the things that many, many people are concerned about with a diagnosis of colorectal cancer is that they will have to have an ostomy, that is, have their wear a bag
mm-hmm.
for the rest of their lives to have their stool excreted to the outside. And while that does occur with a small number of people, the vast majority of people who have treatment for early phase colon or rectal cancer are able to have their colons reattached and resume normal bowel function.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I've known a few people that have had that surgery performed, and while the body was healing, then they had to have that bag externally, and then finally, you know, it was all reconnected after a particular point in time. Now, you have these two books, The Quick Facts on Prostate Cancer, this one that we've been discussing, Quick Facts on Colon Cancer. And in the colon book, you have questions to ask, which I really like because it gives the individual a chance to feel comfortable with asking questions, because usually when you're given a verdict of some kind, you are very frightened, you're very intimidated, and this enables the prospective patient to feel like they have a little bit more of a sense of understanding, not just by reading the material that's presented, by the American Cancer Society, but also by being given questions to ask. I know we're just about out of time, Dr. Brooks, and I know you've got a meeting that's coming up very quickly. I wanted to ask, how does someone find out more about this? We've got the two books, Quick Facts About Colon Cancer and Quick Facts About Prostate Cancer, What You Need to Know Now. Very informative. The terms, everything is just so clearly stated in here. What can people do? To close out our interview, what would you like to recommend to my listeners?
Well, number one, if you have access to the Internet, the American Cancer website, Cancer Society website, is www.cancer.org, and we have information on these books and a wealth of other information about these cancers and many other types of cancers. We also talk about prevention and wellness. If you are not Internet savvy, or if you would simply prefer to talk to someone about some of these issues, we have a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week call line that is staffed by health professionals who will be happy to talk with you, and that number is 1-800-ACS-2345.
Okay, that's 800, A like Adam, C like Charles, S like Sam, 2345, and that's the American Cancer Society, obviously an abbreviation. So that's their toll-free number, and they're available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dr. Brooks, this has been a delight having you as a guest. And again, the books are Quick Facts, and they're really handy. They are easy to read, and more than that, they're a small size where you could pack it in a briefcase if you had a spouse that you wanted to be sure had information about potential prostate problems. It educates both you, the female, as well as the male, because I know it's the gals that are going to go out and buy this. But you guys, if you're smart, you will get a copy for yourself. Become educated. Don't be afraid. And colon cancer. I was wrong. Apparently there is a decrease that is happening with this. What a wonderful thing to hear. So why not make more of a decrease by becoming more aware? And the colon cancer book is very good. Dr. Brooks, thank you so much for being with me. It's a delight having you as a guest today, and just keep on doing.
It's been a pleasure being on. Thank you, Donna.
You are very welcome, Dr. Brooks. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break in just a moment, and Dr. Brooks is off to a meeting. Let me give out the information again of that toll-free number. I really believe in our being educated as much as possible, and I know you're busy. I know there's so much that's going on in your life, but when you encounter as many people as I do, when you're interested in wellness as I am, and I talk with so many people every day, that it just is amazing to me how if we understand how to keep ourselves well, it can make such a difference. So if you're interested in finding more information, the American Cancer Research Society has a 24-hour, 7-days-a-week hotline that you can call, 800-ACS-2345. The information is there. Make use of it. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. Don't you go away. We've got a lot of good things to share with you, including, should I have the time, I've got a recipe for a yummy cheesecake. So you're going to want to know this. Have that pad of paper and pen handy. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. By the way, telephone lines are now open. You can call me if you're in the U.S. on 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. If you'd like to call in from Canada, the telephone number is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And then international line 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. I believe we have a caller on the line. Caller, are you there? Nope. Apparently something happened to the connection, but that's okay. We're right here. And if you are a first-time listener to the Donna Sebo Show, we're so delighted that you've joined our listening audience. Tell your friends. And if you'd like to call in and chat with me, all it takes is you're doing that, dialing the telephone number 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756 here in Canada. And, oh, here we go. We've got it. There's the beep. Okay. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hi. We're going to show people how this is done. What's your first name or initial, and where are you calling from?
My name is Andrita, and I'm calling from Cleveland, Ohio.
Cleveland, Ohio. My goodness. You're in a busy area. And, Angie, I want you to know, hon, the pressure is going to start coming off your shoulders. Mm. I am seeing you having, for a great deal of your life, mm-hmm. carried a lot of responsibility where you feel as if others depend on you a great deal. Mm-hmm. And so I am looking at someone lifting a load off your shoulders, and it's going to free you up to do some of the things that really have been close to your heart and to your mind for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. And part of this, I think, has to do with some advanced education. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at you wanting to go in for some seminars. You are deciding you want to link up with some professional environments with people that have the same interest directions that you have, mm-hmm. and this is going to be an excellent choice for you. Oh. Now, I know that the load isn't going to be lifted tomorrow, mm-hmm. but I do know it's between 2 and 4 months.
Okay.
So there is that opportunity, and your first impulse, believe it or not, mm-hmm. you are going to say, oh, gee, I wonder if I really should let them do this. Are they going to handle the job well?
Mm-hmm.
Trust them and expect them to handle the job well.
Mm.
There still will be some interaction, but whatever this is related to,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not getting the exact specifics right now,
okay.
you have to know and trust that person is going to handle it, and you can sort of oversee it from the sidelines if you want,
mm-hmm.
but it's as if the burden needs to be removed. Someone's going to offer you an option, and it will be a good option.
Mm.
What's on your mind, dear? What did you want to ask me about today?
My love life.
About your love life?
Yeah.
Well, what's your concern here? I'll tell you first right off the bat. I've seen you around some real duds, and I'm so glad that you have not chosen
mm-hmm.
to make them a focus of your life. You usually are pretty careful
mm-hmm.
about who you choose to keep company with. Why are you so concerned about your love life?
I don't know. I just always don't ever find, I ain't never found nobody for me, and I'm, you know, it's like sometimes I get lonely,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I just want to, if I do find somebody, I want them to be like to accept me for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's very much what's going to happen. Let me ask you this. What mm-hmm. are you doing right now? What kind of work are you doing?
Absolutely nothing. I mean, I was in a job and I wasn't happy. Now I'm trying to really kind of get into school for something new.
Well, good for you. What have you looked at? Have you looked at the travel industry, at the motel hotel industry?
I actually was thinking about this. It was a program called Human Services.
Mm-hmm.
And the ultimate goal for me is to become a community care coordinator.
All right. Now, is there a particular group of people that you would like to work with?
I want to work with all ages.
With all ranges. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Let me, because Cleveland's a good-sized city.
Mm-hmm.
What I would like to see you do as you are looking at education, which I think is the right way to go,
mm-hmm.
since that's an area of interest that you have, I would encourage you to go to various businesses,
mm-hmm.
that whether it's the health industry or something else, mm-hmm. that would be directly involved with this, maybe some of the state agencies if
mm-hmm.
you wanted to. And ask if you could just talk to someone
mm-hmm.
and ask them what they would recommend in education, number one.
Okay.
And two, what volunteer opportunities you could participate in.
Hmm.
If you get into the volunteer arena,
mm-hmm.
you then will be able to link up with some people that have just as much interest as you do, the very thing I mentioned to you a moment ago.
Mm.
It'll put you into the environment of like-minded individuals.
Okay.
And I believe because of the level of education
mm-hmm.
that you would be required to reach for
mm-hmm.
and the working and interacting with others that would just love to have somebody like you that's committed to that area of interest
mm-hmm.
because they don't have enough people.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you have got some allies. You actually have a whole new circle of friends
mm-hmm.
and supporters that you have not had to this point.
Wow.
So instead of looking at it as, gee, this is going to be really tough, I want you to instead have an attitude when you go in to interview the people that are involved with the industry
mm.
and say, this is something I have, I feel, a passion for,
mm-hmm.
but I need to be educated about it. Would you give me some insights? And you're going to get all kinds of opinions from different people.
Mm.
And the ones that you feel good about, that you really like, I mean, you may encounter some other people who just say, oh, this is a dog of an environment. You don't want to be in here. You don't know what's going to go on. You don't want to hear that nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
What you want to do is find out what is needed
mm-hmm.
and what you can look to. And I would talk to people that maybe are in charge of various services.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to people on the upper level and ask if you could interview them for
mm-hmm.
a while, that you are thinking of going to school and you sure would like their feedback. Could you have 15 minutes of their time or half an hour? And if you could meet with them in person, that would be great. If you can do it by phone, that would be a wonderful, wonderful thing. But I would say volunteer.
Hmm.
Right in your own community, within a 10-mile radius, there's as many as 6 to 8 different facilities
hmm.
that would love to have a volunteer.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Is that making sense to you?
Yeah, that is. Somebody told me that before about the volunteer thing.
Yes, but go at it with a little bit of a different positioning.
Oh, yeah.
Do the volunteering, but also ask questions. If I were to come to you to apply for a job, what would you want in the way of education?
If you came to me?
Well, that's what you would ask them.
Oh, okay.
You ask people, say, I'm really interested in this arena of
mm-hmm.
professional activity. I would like to know,
mm-hmm.
if I were to come in to you for an interview, what would you want me to know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. That is true.
And I think that you've got a lot of things going for you. Also, not only will it assist you in making choices in school,
mm-hmm.
but it will also bring you into contact with the type of people you really want to be associated with.
Right. That's because right now I don't really associate with too many people, you know. So.
Well,
yeah.
I'll tell you another suggestion I'd give you,
mm-hmm.
and that is pick up your Yellow Pages
mm-hmm.
and look up the women's organizations.
Mm-hmm.
Women typically are very much involved in caretaking.
Hmm.
And there are various volunteer associations And that is something that I think you can find those women that will be so supportive of you and you getting your education. It's unbelievable, the power of these organizations.
I can't believe, when you say a caretaker, that's so much. I can't believe you said that, because I was looking at the paper that, like the last month, I think it was, and I was like, this is what I am. That's what I am, a caretaker, you know?
Mm-hmm. But you want to become an educated caretaker.
Yes, that's true.
Because your back is not real strong, so you're mm-hmm. not someone that's going to be able to work like a nurse lifting patients in and out of beds and out of wheelchairs and so on and so forth. So that's mm-hmm. not what you want.
Right.
But there's many levels of need, and education is very important. So talk to people in the industry.
Yeah.
Go to your local hospital. Talk to somebody at a local hospital.
And it's actually a hospital really up the, right, not too far up the street from me, actually.
Well, why don't you take a walk and just walk up to the hospital, go into the human resources department and talk to somebody in there and say, I'd like to ask some questions. There's an old saying, hon, if you don't ask, you don't get.
Right, that is true. If you ask, you'll never know.
That's right. That's right. So you advance your education, and I guarantee you, you won't be out of work. But I also think if you get into some volunteer work and people see your sincerity, you're going to find there are also programs that perhaps will offer you, as a mature woman, a scholarship and will help get you some financial aid relative to scholarships or state-supported programs. So check them out. Go for it.
Wow. That'd be great.
Well, Angie, I'm so glad you called. How'd you learn about the show?
I usually call in. I had used to be in a group for Michael Groger, and I used to be on Yahoo and on Pal Talk.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to come on there. We have other meetings on there and everything in the chat room sometimes. And then he used to send to our mailbox. He would have a show every Thursday. I think it was Wednesday, Sunday, and another day, Friday maybe. And that's how I learned about the show.
Wonderful. Well, we're so glad you're part of a listening audience.
Thank you very much. And I'm glad. Thank you for having the show.
Oh, you're more than welcome, dear. It's my pleasure. It's just a joy for me to do it every day. You take care now.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This is Donna Sebo. If you'd like to call in like Angie did, it's real simple. Just pick up the telephone and call 877-876-5227 if you are in the U.S. If you're wanting to call in from Canada, the toll-free number is 888-815-9756. And internationally, the number is 503-876-3222. We've got another caller. Let's go to this caller. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
I'm Barbara from Glendale, Arizona.
Okay, Barbara from Glendale, Arizona. Welcome to the show. I'm watching you, and I'm wanting to say, stop procrastinating. There is something that is going on in your environment that is causing you to sort of pull back and hedge your bets. I don't want you to do that. I want you to follow through, get done what needs to be done. Don't procrastinate, because there is so much that's going to be building up on your, what I call your working platter, that if you procrastinate, you're just going to find things compounding on you, and you're going to get to that point of feeling overwhelmed. So just be aware. Also, there's something I'm picking up, and it's a picture in my mind that I'm looking at. It seems to have to do with your dwelling, and I'm wondering if a door is not pulling to and closing properly. There is something about a door being slightly off base, and I think all it is, it's like a shifting of the earth where there's just the house has shifted or the dwelling has shifted in some way. And so it might cause that door not to close properly. And I want to say it's just a simple adjustment to make sure that it pulls to the way it's supposed to. Also, I am looking at the fact that there is something that you're thinking about doing, perhaps a garage sale. Maybe it's going to be with some other friends, and you're going to want to get rid of a bunch of items. This is a very good time to do something like that, and you're going to find that most of your stuff will sell if you and the other people that are wanting to do like a combined garage sale, then if you work together on a time where you can all do it together, it, where it's less stress, I think you're going to have a very good response. And I think just a small ad in the local paper will bring plenty of people out to where you're going to have it. But you'll be able to clear out some of the things that you don't want anymore. What question do you have for me?
I'm really working on trying to increase my finances, and I'm hoping that from now until the end of the month that I'm going to meet the deadlines that I need to meet, the financial deadlines. Are you seeing that come together okay?
Well, I'm not looking at it coming together perfectly right at this moment. I do think that your objectives are good ones, and you are learning how to work smarter, not harder. I think that you are going to need to develop a bigger plan for long range. The short range plans are fine. The long range plans you really need to tweak so that you have that consistent income.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
You're very welcome, Barbara. You have a wonderful day.
And you as well. Thank you.
This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break for just a moment, and we'll be right back.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedros. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Donna Sebo is a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at Donna@DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna@DelphiInternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.DelphiInternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is Donna@DelphiInternational.com, and her website is www.DelphiInternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and quickly, I know we've got a caller on the line. I want to, before I go to this next caller, mention my guest that I have this week. We're going to be talking tomorrow with Dinah Roseberry. We're going to be talking about ghosts. Yes, the ghosts of Valley Forge and Phoenixville. Dinah has done ghost hunting, so she's a fun person to talk to. So we're going to be talking a little bit about that tomorrow. And then on Wednesday, we'll be talking with Patricia Aberdeen. We're going to be talking about Megatrends 2010. This is awesome information that I know that you will find fascinating, as I did. So we've got those two dynamic guests, and then I'm going to be on the road traveling. So on Thursday and Friday, we're going to be playing the best of Donna, and then I will be back giving you information about next week's show. But we have got a great lineup, and I know you won't want to miss any of it. So be sure to tune in and also tell your friends. Don't forget, we also archive the shows within a very short period of time for some reason. If you miss one of the programs that I do, just know you're going to be able to hear it. And this is great. This is something that has evolved because of technology, and we have been able to implement it here at bbsradio.com. We're also interested in your comments. Do give us feedback about the show, what you like. If you have people you'd like to hear about, you can email bbsradio.com, hit the comment button on the website, send your thoughts, or you can contact me directly, Donna@DelphiInternational.com. Delphi International.com. That's Donna at DelphiInternational.com. Well, let's go to our next caller who's been waiting very patiently. Hello. Welcome
Hello.
To the show. And where, first name or initial, and where are you calling from?
First initial is R, and we're from the Midwest, and we're currently dodging tornadoes down here.
Ooh, yuck. Where in the Midwest?
Chicago, Kankakee area.
Chicago. Oh, my goodness. Tornadoes. My goodness. That is something I have not experienced, and I don't know that I want to. Thank you very much.
Well, my grandmother said the only prayer for those things is, dear God, make them go back up.
Oh, I love her attitude. That is so good. Love her attitude. Just let's make them go right back up. Okay, let's go for you, R. First thing I am looking at is writing. I'm also looking at a computer. I am seeing you having a portable one that is going to serve you very well. I see you telling stories, and I believe you're going to find someone who is going to want to publish your stories. Now, what's intriguing to me about this is that I don't think you ever really thought you would get involved with writing, yet it is something that is going to prove to be very, very good for you. You have also a clarity with your thinking that I like, as well as a very good imagination. But the clarity of thinking is going to come in handy when you choose to become involved in what I will describe as a political positioning, a political arena of some kind. And you're going to be very articulate. One thing I want to encourage you to do is be sure you check your facts, because there is someone that may want you to be supportive of a positioning they have, but you must check the facts. Don't assume that just because this is a nice person that all the facts are in line. They're not. Mm-hmm. This is a person that has a patterning for strong emotional responses to things, so you want to be sure that you have the facts and not just go on their emotional directions. Even though they might be 60% correct, it's the 40% that's incorrect that can cause some major problems. So just be aware. Do you have a question for me?
It's amazing how you honed in on that one thing. I had an acquaintance that was over a couple days ago, and within, I'd say, just a few hours, I began to feel very, very not well. And I'm wondering if it's worth my effort and or time to continue that. And I don't think it was a coincidence. As strange as it may seem, I just don't.
Well, I think you're right. It was not a coincidence. I think what it was an eye-opening, I'll use that type of a term, an eye-opening awareness on your part that you do not choose to be someone's verbal doormat.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can always be a good listener. When you find that you're with someone where there's this tremendous emotional drain, whatever has gone on in the conversation, then you need to ask yourself a question. Maybe excuse yourself from the conversation, either go to the bathroom, fix a cup of tea, or whatever you can do. But say, what is it that's bothering me about this? What's pushing my buttons?
Ooh.
What is pushing my buttons? Because if you're able to be a good listener that is detached and you don't let your emotions get into the equation, you'll come out okay.
Okay.
But you're responding. You're empathizing. You're more sympathetic. You're getting all engrossed in it and being carried up into the emotional side.
Bad move.
Yes, it is a bad move. Because then you're not being who you should be, just a good listener. Mm-hmm. And you don't need to give opinions. You don't have to be in a positioning of opinion. Sometimes all you need to do is just listen. So I think this is a big aha for you because it's enabling you to be aware of something that you're needing to change about yourself. You don't worry about changing anybody else. You just say, hey, I'm taking care of me.
Just me.
That's right.
Now, cool, then I will change that next time. And I think I'm going to be incredibly more selective. That's what restaurants are for. We meet people in restaurants. Not to have them at home. I mean, they're, too much, too close. She just lost her husband, and I was just like, ow.
Mm-hmm. Well, that something was really pushing your button, so you need integrity with yourself. I'm sorry, honey. I'm going to have to go. We're out of time.
Oh, my. Well, thank you.
You are so welcome, and I so appreciate you calling in.
Thank you.
You have a wonderful, wonderful day.
Thank you. This is
Donna Seba. My goodness, we are out of time. See, that's what happens when you're having fun. And I want you to remember always you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. My thanks to the callers and also to my guest, Dr. Brooks. And I'm sorry, Cheesecake's going to have to wait until tomorrow or whenever we have a chance to share the recipe with you. This is Donna Seba. Have a fabulous day. Your life is blessed. Enjoy the blessings. Count them all. You might not even have enough time to count them all, but get started, because if you recognize them, they'll blossom and grow even more. Donna Seba, talk with you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Seba Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Seba Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.
Hi, this is singer-songwriter Cara Johnstad, and you're listening to BBS Radio. If it's not mainstream, it's on bbsradio.com.
Vitaly, the new name in electronic music, presents his new album, Looking at the Stars. Check it out at www.vitalymusic.com and here at BBS Radio, your first choice for unconventional and original music.
Separate.